Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 100 of Crosshairs Radio. We did it! 100. 2 years of work, but we made it here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking around if you were with us from the beginning or jumping on now. For this episode, it's a TDDTIE. I guess that makes sense. So, Scott Dienbach, David Palin will be joining with me to, catch up, talk about the show and how we got started, and just sort of ramble on. We talk about cyclocross, talk about the national team event that I was able to go out to in Colorado Springs earlier this week, and talk a little bit about European cyclocross, domestic cyclocross. We cover it all. It's Crosshairs Radio, and it's brought to you by Health IQ. Health IQ is about supporting literacy with a data-driven approach. They're also about getting you lower rates on life insurance. And life insurance, it's one of those things that you aren't buying for you, but the loved ones in your life, your spouse, your dependents. Easy thing to put off, but if you ever go to a financial advisor, it's the first thing they're going to ask you, do you have life insurance? If the answer is no, you need to go to Health IQ. They understand people with healthy lifestyles, cyclists like you and me, who are out there riding, who are in shape, who have low heart rates, who take care of themselves because they know that's a better risk for them to invest in you and to incentivize you to invest in them. They're going to get you lower rates. All you have to do is qualify. How you qualify, you go to healthiq.com/cxhairs. You take a short quiz. They'll contact you. You chat with them. You get lower rates on your life insurance, and you are good to go. One more thing you can check off and not have to worry. Give it to yourself as a little Christmas or Hanukkah gift this year by taking care of that, and then you don't have to worry about it again. You'll be set. So healthiq.com/CX Hairs. Another gift you should give to yourself is becoming a part of another community. You're already part of the Crosshairs Radio community. You're part of the cyclocross community, and we love having you. We'd also want you to be part of the Wide Angle Podium Network community. And you can do that by going to wideanglepodium.com, click on the donate button, sign up, get like $5 a month, you know, set it and forget it. Then you don't have to worry about it. It helps us keep the servers running and shows to you. We have an awesome new app. You can get the Wide Angle Podium app on Android and or Google Play Store, and then also for Apple in the Apple Store. So download that. It's a really easy way to get all of the shows you love, like this one, like Bike Shop CX, like We Got to Hang Out, Slow Ride Podcast. They are all there, and we want you to help us keep all of those shows up and running. We got cool stuff planned for the next year, so we're loving all the support we have so far, and just want all of you to help us meet our goals for next year and to become a member. Listen, if you haven't already fast forward, make sure you listen throughout this episode. We have a really exciting giveaway opportunity that has to do with cyclocross nationals. I think I may have, that's a spoiler. We're going to talk it up like it's a surprise in here, but that's a spoiler. So you'll know when that's coming in and what you need to do to be part of that giveaway. And also, if you're listening to this before Christmas and you want to get a gift, I think a good one is Skills Drills and Belly Aches, a cyclocross primer. You can get that at cyclocrossbook.com. So please do that. Also, if you got a chance, follow me at CX Hairs, and also follow along on the YouTube channel that I started. It's Crosshairs Television. I got some really cool videos up there from the race at Nobuyama in Japan, the UCI race. Going to be doing the same type of coverage for nationals, so subscribe now to that channel so you don't miss out on any of those videos. All right, we're going to turn it over. I think we're coming in mid pre-show ramblings. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to do that right now. Episode 100. Thanks for tuning in.
And that's what parking is.
Okay,
right.
We could go.
That's why
we could go all night. So I just hit record.
We need a
all
different.
Right, let's go all night.
All right. Well, do you want to start? Let's start something. I have no idea what we're.
Those just joining us, Scott is now on a. It's not parking. It's much more than that. rant.
So welcome everybody. This is Mr. David Palin, and I am stepping on Scott's toes here to say, on my left is Mr. Bill Shiken.
Hey, David, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. And that means on my right would be Scott Diedenbach.
Yes, that's me. Are we? Is this going to be in the show?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Of course it is. You know he doesn't edit.
Episode
show number 100, and we should have gotten it right by now. But we're doing what we can. We're swinging for the fences by the seat of our pants, or whatever whatever you want to use there. Here we go. Let's play this.
You know, and it's perfect because you know David's coming in a little distorted, so you know he's it's just par for the course.
I was just going to say, I don't know about you, Bill, but I got to turn David down, man.
Yeah.
He's excited.
He's coming in hot.
Well, yeah, guys, this is the 100th episode.
I know, David, I don't want to step on his toes. I mean, do we do that? I don't know. Does it feel right without having Scott doing his little opening?
Oh, go ahead, Scott. Do your thing. I thought you were saying it doesn't feel right to step on my toes.
Well, you're swinging for the fences, so and hanging by a shoestring and going for the low-hanging fruit or something.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Here we go. You ready?
Yep.
All right, we are back for the 100th. Oh, shit. I screwed
up.
Definitely not editing now.
All right, we are back for the 100th edition of Crosshairs Radio. Happens to be a TDDTI episode. For good for us, Mr. David Palin. With us is Mr. David Palin.
Hey, I'm on the left.
You're on the left, and I'm on the right.
On your left,
Bill Shiken.
Hey, I'm on the right. Yeah, you were almost sounding clear there for a second, David.
Sorry about that. Let me turn down my gain.
Hey, by the next 100 episodes, he's gonna have it down.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed like we were doing okay when we were pre-recording in the green room.
Then we all got excited and started screaming at our mics.
I thought we were going to lose Scott there for a while. He was like, all right.
It is late.
He needs a, you know, that red light goes on. He perks up even past his bedtime.
Guys, this is like amazing. I think we have some sound bites from when we first had Bill on the show, right? You're going to put those at the end, Bill?
Yeah, I'll if I remember, I will tag those on to the end. If I don't remember, it will be... it'll be reason to listen to episode 101.
101.
Possibly because, 102.
How many? I think I put it on Twitter. How many people have a recording of when they met?
Yeah, I know. That's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Not many, but we do. So that'll be in there, I think. So that's one
what
of the
was
ones
the,
that
What was
that.
The day? I know we were talking about it earlier. It was when you all sort of transferred from the bike shop. Oh, no, you split off. So you had the bike shop show, and then you started Cyclocross Today. And
right.
And people were getting upset at the bike shop show because you guys, more and more, like, Cyclocross was taking over that show.
Yeah. Yeah, so Cyclocross was creeping into the bike shop show so much that people were complaining. So we were like, yeah, they're kind of right. It is taking over, so we should probably just separate it into a second show. So we did, and then we had you were on. I was just looking, it was episode 6 of Cyclocross Today, so very early on. And then it was only, I think, maybe 5 or 6 episodes after that that David and I talked about it, and then we had you on. And we're like, hey, let's do a regular segment with Bill on, just talking about Euro Cyclocross, because
right.
David and I were talking about everything, and we were just going to have you on as like the European specialist. And we started talking about, oh, what are we going to name the show? And so there's a soundbite in there about us talking about that. And then the other soundbite is the one where we actually read the viewer submissions of names like, "Hey Bill, what's Shiken?"
the stuff I had never heard before.
My favorite one was the person who submitted "Not as good as Svenness."
Ah, nice.
Or biking with Shiken.
Yeah, yeah. There was all
these. I'm sure you are like all new to you.
Wow. Okay, so the first, it was interesting because I hadn't started Crosshairs Radio at that point.
No, this is pre Crosshairs Radio.
Yeah. Right? So do you know what date that was? That episode 6.
I can look it up and let you know.
Because I can tell you that episode 1 of Crosshairs Radio went up September 7th, 2015.
And yeah, this would have been 2014.
Yeah.
It would have been spring, I think, of 2014, something like that.
That was episode 1 with Meredith Miller and Hot Sauce.
Oh, nice. What a show. Man, I got to go back and listen to that.
Followed up by Tim Johnson and Renat Schott.
Man.
I didn't know you had Renat on. It's funny because I remember Tim Johnson. I didn't remember Renat.
Yeah. January 15th, 2016 was the Cyclocross Today TDD-TIE crossover.
Okay. That was the over of the recording.
Yeah, that's just when we switched.
It's ceremonious.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just when we switched.
That was the buyout. That's when the buyout was complete.
That's where the buyout happened. So here's something for you. Yesterday, I don't understand this at all, but yesterday, I'm trying to find what date that was, and I'm looking at stats on Libsyn. Yesterday, there was 60 downloads of Cyclocross Today.
Wow.
Wow.
Who was telling that?
This is the first time I'm looking at the new Libsyn stat page, and I got a little confused here at first.
It is kind of confusing, and it takes a while to get used to, but then you can figure. Okay, so it was Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014, show 6 of Cyclocross Today.
It's crazy. We were doing it in April.
We had on the show CX Hairs and, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Katie Compton.
Yeah.
And that was also the show that we had.
Did I open for Compton or did she open for me?
I think you were first.
All right. That makes sense. Yeah. She should be the headliner, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
I was
going to say, yeah, we gave away the Paid Rose tool set on that show.
Oh, that's right.
Sherry Schwendelorf.
From Sherry. Cross Crusade.
Yeah.
Cross Crusade. Yeah. And as a surprise to her, we brought her on the show with Katie Compton.
Right.
Oh, I remember that.
Katie
yeah.
was the one that told her about it.
Yeah.
We had her call in when we had Katie on the line, and she didn't know Katie was going to be on the line, so she got to rap with Katie. How awesome is that?
Nice.
We're bringing the lover on. That's what we do with Cyclocross, you know?
That's a good giveaway.
What's that?
Yeah.
That was a good giveaway, that page.
Oh,
was,
that tool
kit.
Set? Heck yeah. Yeah. Heck
good
yeah,
to have contests.
Awesome. We should have a contest.
Speaking of giveaways.
Man, that was a segue and a
that
half,
was a segue. Just
David and I
right
even
on
both
there.
Picked. Do you want to tell about the contest we're going to have, Bill?
Yeah, so in honor of episode 100, we have this contest. This contest is a little late in coming together. So, you know, apologies.
But you'll probably, when you hear what it is, you might understand why.
Yeah. But apologies to all of you who have your act together and have already gotten in your registration for Cyclocross Nationals and got your housing all taken care of. You are the better people for it.
Although now that it's kind of almost given away, also apology to our many viewers from outside the United States.
Yes. This has nothing to do with you all.
Well, they could still make it.
They could still. Yeah. They could. Well, yeah. I mean, part of it actually would be fine. Part of it's covered. Anyway, we're talking about Cyclocross Nationals, and this is what we have up to offer our friends from Reno CX Nats, the promoters of this race have been generous enough to donate to us to give away one entry to Cyclocross Nationals, one race entry. You will be able to race on us.
That'd be cool, man.
On its
own. What
about
housing? That's expensive.
On its own, that would be awesome. Along with that, you get two nights in the hotel there. I got to check on the name. That's what I should have done before.
The host hotel, though?
The host hotel for two nights on us as well.
Which is like a half mile, I think, from the venue. It's very close.
Yeah.
I was looking at the map today. Yeah.
So you get free entry, free housing. You basically just have to get you and your bike there.
Yep. And Bill will clean your bike when it's there.
And David will clean your bike when you're there. And the rest is taken care of. And but here's what you need. Here's the rub, if you will. We're going to do this as an Instagram contest. So what we need you to do, and it is going to be a panel of judges. Those judges will include me, Scott, David, and a fourth to be named later. We will have a mystery judge.
Do you even know who it is yet, Bill?
Nope.
Nope.
Or maybe I do. I can't tell you. This is all under wraps. This was covered in the hour and a half pregame show.
I thought it would be that person.
All right.
So that's the deal. So we are going to have all of our entries. How you enter is you go to Instagram and you are going to post a photo that best exemplifies you and cyclocross, whatever that means. You can interpret this is wide open. We basically just want a cyclocross related photo that includes you, not taken by you. Or should, yeah, no, because this is not a photographer's contest. This is we wanted of you.
Yes.
So a race moment or whatever that may be, you can interpret this however you want, but it is a cyclocross photo with you.
Be creative. The more creative, the better your chances probably are.
In your description, we want to know why you are the person. You know, we're looking at maybe you decided that you couldn't make it out to Reno. The cost was just too high. And that's completely understandable. But having your entry taken care of, having two nights of housing taken care of, maybe that lowers that bar to the point that you can now make it out there. So we're going to help you make that possible. We want to know what your story is. Why you need this entry, why you want this entry, what it would mean to you. Put that into the description. And here's the two most important things. You have to hashtag TDDTIE. That's number one. That has to happen. TDDTIE hashtag. And then you also have to follow and tag Reno CX Nats. So at Reno CXNATS, all one word, RENOCXNATS. Hashtag TDDTIE, follow at Reno CXNATS, also tag at Reno CXNATS, and that's it, you're in. You can tag USA Cycling too, because they were generous enough to donate the entry, so put them on there as well.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
And when are we going to
tell
announce
you something? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, when are we going to announce the winner?
We are going to give you only 1 week to do this.
Yes.
I mean, to be fair to everyone, because you got to have to make your arrangements if you don't win.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So, what a great prize, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got that going on. And again,
I wish I could
that it's a little late, you know, and if you want to like send your angry emails for having this too late, that's fine, but at least it's happening.
That's right.
Yeah, that was really great. And thanks to the good folks in Reno and good folks in Colorado for making that happen.
Yep. So Friday, December 22nd. Friday, December 22nd. We won't necessarily, you know, we'd love for you to follow the show and subscribe to the show, but we will, we will not be announcing it on the show because I'm just not sure when those will come up. So we'll get it out there by all kinds of social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can follow at CX Hairs, follow Bike Shop at Bike Shop CX. Those are the two main ones where we will be announcing the winner of this contest.
Yes. All
you
right.
You may find something coming from at Mr. David Pallon as well.
Yeah. Follow
just throw it out there.
Yeah. Follow at Mr. David Pallon. Okay.
Awesome. That's awesome. Are you guys, I am so excited about Reno Nats. I don't know what it is, but like, this is one of, I'm more excited about this Nationals than I have been in a long time. I don't know why. I don't know what
it
is.
I know why you're more excited about it.
What are you going to say?
You're going as a fan, as a spectator.
I'm going as a fan. The last time I went as a fan, David, do you know when that was?
I do know when that was.
Boulder. You and I went in Boulder.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I mean, you are going as a, you're also, I mean, you guys are going to be working, you're going to be putting together content for Bike Shop CX and, you know, being, having the heavy burden of being cyclocross internet celebrities. So that is still going to be there. So it's not all just fun and games, you know, there's responsibilities there to uphold the good name of the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network.
So without the van, I'm going to be harder to spot though. So
yeah,
you got to grow some facial hair. That'll do it.
People will be able to find us. They never have had problems before, David. Right?
But they
hear us talking.
That's the thing, especially with
once
you,
we
Scott.
Start bickering.
I mean, I know we've all gotten the. You're like standing in line talking to somebody and the person in front of you turns around and goes, it's so weird. It's like I'm in my car right now.
Yeah. Yes. We've had that happen several times. Who was it? What's his name at Indy was like, he was talking to us the one day and then the next Dylan was like, then the next day he said, I just realized that yesterday he's like, it hit me on my way home. I was like, that was Mr. David Pallon. He had met me before, so he knew who I was. And then he was like, it hit me on my way home that was Mr. David Pallon.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, it happens all the time. So, awesome. But, yeah, you guys are ready. You're going. What day are you going out, Bill?
I'm going out Wednesday. I am lucky enough to be participating in an event at the Patagonia store Wednesday evening. It is a women's cycling panel. I get to be the token on there as just sort of asking some questions and getting the hell out of the way, I think is my... my position on this as sort of the moderator, but you know, it's an awesome panel that I'm really looking forward to.
Can you tell us who's on it?
You're putting me on the spot because I need to now pull up the list because I don't want to leave anybody out. But you guys talk amongst yourselves and then I will find that.
It's names most people will recognize for sure.
For sure. Yep. We've heard some of the names at least, and you're going to want to be there.
I wish now that I was going to be there Wednesday night. I would go in a second.
I can tell you here. Okay. Our good friend and participant on a recent Bike Shop CX, Katie Macarelli from Feedback Sports is going to be on the panel.
Great choice.
I'm changing my flights now. I want to be there for that.
That alone is worth going.
Another friend of the show, Emily Kachorik, owner, one of the owners of Squid Bikes and also a racer for them, will be on it.
Another great choice.
Here's a good one. Allison Tetrick will be on this panel.
Great choice.
And then Amber Pierce, who is a Reno local and pro cyclist.
Cool.
And
cool.
Founder of Network for Advancing Athletes. She's going to be on it. Nice. Julie Young, who is a coach and retired professional, is going to be on there. And then Trinity Gleckler, who is a women's masters racer. So that's going to be awesome. A lot of different perspectives, a lot of different views. And I'm really looking, you know, I know for both of our shows. It's, you know, that is, we're at the point now where women's cycling is probably the thing that we are more excited to talk about, especially in the TDD TIE, because that's where
the action is.
The action is. You know, I don't want to. It was funny. Our other friend of the show, Ryan Trebone, tweeted out something. He's like, "You don't have to. The women's cycling can be exciting without you having to trash the men's cycling at the same time."
Well, that's true. It could be. We'd love to see that.
Well, and we don't think
big fans of that happening.
And it wasn't us necessarily. It wasn't us. It was mainly just because it's not like we're on to any secret here. It was just a reaction to everybody watching the last round of races and saying, "Oh man, yeah, another Matthew Vanderpoel yawner," and then a compelling women's race.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I gotta say, that last race, I think they were talking about this on Slow Ride, is if you take him out of the race, it was actually a really good race back in the field. There was a lot of good stuff going on, and there would have been a group finish, you know. So it was still a good race.
So somebody needs to ask him the Mariana Voss question.
Yes.
Are you bad for cyclocross?
Yeah.
Don't you remember that? That was post Louisville Worlds, like the second question. So, are you bad for the sport of cyclocross? It's a Mariana Voss.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I'd ask it then, but I mean, I think it's something you can, you know. I think they said they covered it well on Slow Ride, and you know, yeah, you don't necessarily have to put someone on the spot and say that question, but it's something I think that's a fair thing open for discussion is, would the men's racing be better if
can Matthew I just couch Vanderpool can I couch there? Your can I couch your statement there, they covered it well for them.
Oh.
I don't want those guys to get like too, you know, too full.
Yeah, we don't want them to think that they're actually really covering cyclocross well.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that comes from people that think the Schwamigan is a real mountain bike race, you know.
All right. Just to finish up on this, you know, before we get too far off track, which we are going to, 7 p.m. Patagonia Store in Reno, Wednesday, January 10th. That is the women's event. And it's at 7 o'clock, and proceeds go to Sierra Butts Trail Stewardship. So that's cool too.
So yeah, man, get out there, folks. If you're going to be there for nationals that on Wednesday, get out there, pack that place, man. I would love to see it just packed. People standing, you know, standing room only would be amazing. So if you're there and you got the time, you probably won't be disappointed at all. So
yeah,
and they can come up and get their picture taken with you, Bill. So
no one needs that.
Yeah, so much for that. You won't be disappointed.
There's also the Mechanics Nationals. That's happening again. So come out to that.
Yep.
That's always a fun event.
Yep.
I'll be helping MC that. So like,
when is that one?
Oh man, see, I'm quickly like scrolling, trying to find it before David asks me that question.
That might. Be
I just think it's Scotty D with you not being working a pit. I'm
just saying.
That might actually be Thursday. I think that's usually historically on Thursday night.
Let's see.
You know, that doesn't mean it is this year.
I'm at the
way that Scotty D has become kind of the class historian. You notice that? Did you know that Scotty is a history buff?
I did, by the way. Yes, because he always threatens to come out to DCCX so he can see some Civil War sites.
Civil War stuff, yeah. We were driving, where were we? Somewhere in Indy, on our way to Indy, and we're in some town that, you know, because of me, we were super late getting into town and it's pitch black. And Scott just kind of goes, "Did you know who lived in this town? You know, his significance in the Civil War?" I had no clue. I learned so much when I'm with Scotty D.
Friday night, Scott, January 12th.
Oh, Friday night. All right, cool. Cool.
You'll be there.
We can all go to that.
Well, you not go. You got to be in it.
I'm not going to be in it.
Yeah. No, for the pride of Bike Shop CX.
No. I will gladly go and cheer for whoever is in it and have fun, but I'm not going to enter it, no.
Yeah, Scott feels that wrenching should not be rushed.
Well, what a great place to get some content for Bike Shop CX, though. Holy crap.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be mechanics there.
It's going to take it's going to take place at El Jefe's Cantina.
Nice.
Does El Jefe's Cantina have a name?
El Jefe.
See what I did there? The language game.
They call it Steve.
Well, if people haven't noticed already, this is not going to be a typical TDD TIE episode.
No,
episode. I think
this is already.
This is the the pomp and circumstance of an hour of BS from from the TDDIE crew
celebrating 100 episodes. But we did want to talk about one race. We want to talk about Essen really quick. The Dave race in Essen. We want to give a little bit of results from that. So you guys want to do that right now, and then we can get to questions. We got some questions lined up.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, for the juniors, in first place was Yarno Bellin, second place Pim Ronhar, third place Ryan Kapp, fourth place Ben Tullett, fifth place Ryan Korchens. For the U23 race, first place was Eli Easerby, second place Thies Ertz, third place Yannick Peters, fourth place Jens Dekker, fifth place Tom Joseph. In that race, Spencer Petroff was in that race and was 27. For the women's race, this was a good race. Did you guys watch this? Stani Kahn in first, second place, Nikki Bramier, third place, Katie Compton, fourth place, Pauline Ferrand-Prevot, fifth place, Lois Sells. So American women in this race was, of course, Compton in third, Emma White in 16th. In 31st was Corey Coogan Kisik, and in and Ellen Noble DNF'd. So, yeah, what did you guys think of that that women's race? Pauline Ferrand-Prevot, we want to talk a little bit about, well, we can mention that. The next day, she, of course, starts second to last or something, and rides through the entire field and gets the win. She needed this one race, I guess, to warm up, and she only got up
to fourth. This was her leg opener, I think.
Yeah, this was her opener, got up to fourth. And then gets the win the next day. What do you guys think?
Go
about,
with David, because I'm gonna be perfectly honest. I did not catch these races because I've been
traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I thought she looked great. Obviously, she looked fast. She comes in and basically just like Voss did last year. She comes in late, enters, and it takes her maybe one, maybe two races to get her legs back under, and then she's winning, So,
which is just, there was a time, especially last season, that I don't think I was alone in thinking she would never be back at the top. And the knee injury that Pauline Ferrand-Prevot suffered 2 years ago was horrendous.
Yeah,
I mean, just horrendous, and that she's racing it all again. There were a lot of people who thought that she was going to retire at that point and wouldn't be able to race again, and to come back, and you could see her starting to come around in the mountain bike season. From the beginning of the mountain bike season, this past World Cup, she did not look good, and she did not look comfortable on her bike, and did not look comfortable riding out there. And by the end, she's on the podium and winning races. And then coming into cyclocross, the same thing. So just it may come in the last couple of days of the year, but this has to be the comeback story of the year.
I agree. And, it was the stuff she was saying, too, around that time was, man, I think, getting the three rainbow jerseys maybe ruined cycling for me. I mean, just all kinds of.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, like emotionally and psychologically just down. So
just
down.
Defeated, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of good to see from that aspect that that didn't like get the best of her. Here she is, as maybe as good as ever. And it's going to add some excitement to. Did she say she's doing Worlds yet? Or she just said she's going to ride through Nationals?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe
I don't think
she's
officially said that she's going through Worlds yet, but I think that I would guess that will probably. She didn't say she's not going to do it. She just hasn't said for sure she is.
Well, maybe she didn't want to, you know, we've seen it before with the French selection, especially on the men's side, where you have, I think there was one year that they didn't send their national champion to the world championships. So
yes,
maybe just not presuming that she would automatically be on the team. I think it's a safe bet that you're going to send her, but maybe that's why she hasn't said anything yet.
Yeah, true. All right, David, did you want to have any input on that?
On Pauline Ferrand-Prévot?
No, just on Essen. I mean, give us a rundown
so
of Essen.
Essen, the one piece was, well, as we talked about, it's kind of a runaway race, especially among the men. Okay. There was one puddle, and so you didn't see it at all, Bill?
Did you see it, Scotty?
D, you saw it?
Yeah.
Yes, I watched it.
There's that one puddle that everybody was going far right. Every round, it seemed like, until the end of the men's racing. But there's this one puddle where they're going almost to clip the one of the posts on the right side. Yeah. And there was one place where Van der Poel kind of caught that pole on the right side.
And that was the last time he did it. After that, he went to the left.
Everyone else went right through the middle of that puddle.
Yeah.
Just tore it up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting from a racing perspective, from, you know, if there's ever anyone that puts together little short videos to analyze decisions made at one particular corner. That was the one that really seemed to be a deciding point in the race. Wasn't like a deciding point of it decided the winner of the race, but people were making conscious decisions about riding around that puddle for a while until at some point they just kind of opened that floodgate and rode right through the middle of it.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of that, in first place for the men was Matthew Vanderpool. Second place, Lauren Sweek, who is, well, we'll talk about him in a second. Third place, Tone Erich. Fourth place, Corne Van Kessel. Fifth place, Lars Vanderhaar. And in 14th place, the only U.S. man over there was Stephen Hyde. Lauren Sweek, you know, he's having a bit of a comeback. He's starting to turn it back on here, guys.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe.
He had some good results at the beginning of the season. Kind of dropped off, took a little break, and now...
Well,
he was rising up again.
He was injured.
Yeah, yeah. True. But I'm thinking like from the rest and everything that you get from that, I think he's right back, you know.
Yeah,
right, he's back in the mix.
He's looking strong.
Yeah.
I think Mark Legg had talked to his dad, who said that he had needed one solid training block really on the road. And then he'd be back up to where, so, you know, like you were saying, you know, took that break, but then was able to get in that hard training and now is back where, he wants to be, because he was, you know, and I didn't realize that he had been hurt, but, you know, I kept mentioning it while watching these races, is that, man, this is a guy that we really thought was going to be, you know, coming in with her young guns, and even said it. He's like, hey, don't forget about me. You know, it's not just Wout and Matthew. I'm up here too. Don't forget about me. And then that was like the end of the last year when he was always there with those guys and then just kind of disappeared. So it's good to see him back up there, and hopefully that'll you know, make the rest of the season a little more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed to always be up, like last year, he would be up with them at the beginning of the race. And then by the end of the race, he would fall back. He would drop back, sometimes even out of the top 10 or down into the lower top 10. But now he's there till the end. You know, we're seeing him there to the end. So I think as we head into Worlds, of course, it's hard to see past Matthew Vanderpool for anybody right now. I think, of course, Wout Van Aert as the two-time consecutive, you know, defending world champion is going to be there. We're going to be talking about him. And those are the two guys on the top of most people's minds. But I think Sweek and Tone are the two guys who really may, and Lars, don't, and of course Lars Vanhar, those three guys actually, you know, right behind them are going to make a very interesting mix. And you get, if like all five of those guys start riding together, Matthew gets into something like he's done the last 2 years, you know, where he mentally just something happens to him. You know, anything can happen still. So I think we're going to be in for a really exciting world championship.
Yeah, and if we jump all the way to Worlds, you know, you have to keep in mind that if Lars Vanderhaar, I don't know if it is his favorite course, but it should be. It's his home country at Valkenburg. And
yeah.
It's a race,
and he can crush that course.
And he has won that race, you know, on more than one occasion. And he's won it going away.
Yeah, he's ridden away from the field on that course before, so for sure. So, yeah.
Yes, I think he's been kind of quiet about all of those facts, almost from a sense of trying to not put too much pressure on himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Could be, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and
so it, now it, you guys blew it.
Why?
Pressure on himself.
Now you put. Well, now you guys blew it. Now because no. I was saying how I was trying to keep it quiet. And
we just opened the floodgate.
Oh, and you guys just opened it up. This is going to be. This is going to be David's pick for Worlds. His sleeper.
That was. He actually was my sleeper
every
for Worlds.
Year.
Every year he's been my sleeper for Worlds.
I told you. He likes Lars because they're the same height.
They are the same size.
It's not easy being little.
It's not. We gotta look out for each other. I'm with you, Lars, man. Don't let these guys give you a hard time.
Oh, all right. Well, that was the main race we wanted to talk about. Do we want to do? We got a lot of questions, Bill.
We do have a lot of questions.
Do you want to get to them? What do you want to do first? Email? Or the voicemail?
Yeah. Those would be the two options.
it's late at night for me, you know.
We had a couple questions on, I mean, going back to the women's field, and since we kind of just talked about that, maybe we should. We have a man. Do you think it's Jan or Jan? We're gonna have to get a pronunciation from him. VJGOH, a friend of the show on Twitter.
Nice.
Is he a bike shop CX contributor as well?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
All right. So here is Jan Jan's email.
Jan Jan.
Says, hey there, congrats on the 100th episode. So here's what I want to know. Belgium doesn't seem to have much U23 development for women, which is something you guys have mentioned before, but then you'll be watching a race and someone like Kim Van de Steen comes out of nowhere in her 30s and is top 10 in the DVV overall. Do Belgium women burst fully formed from their father's heads, fully kitted out and shouldering a bike, or do they just race B races until they're good and only then join the pro ranks? What's the deal? I think literally every other country has a deeper U23 field for women than Belgium. Only Laura Verdonchamp right now, I'm pretty sure. Thanks, and hope you keep it for another 100. Well, thank you very much for the letter. And that's something I hadn't really... I mean, we got Jolene. Isn't she Belgian?
But she's...
I wouldn't say much older. She's older than 23.
So yeah. Jolene, I checked it because when I read this, I wanted to check real quick. Yeah, Jolene and Sonic Hunt actually are the same racing age as 27.
Okay.
So, yeah. So they're, but
Jolene
that's
just
part,
looks like she's 16.
Yeah, right. But that's part of it is those two are not that far out of U23, right? I mean, that's still pretty close to that is part of the reason why it might look like there is a bit of a gap right there. I mean, obviously, in my opinion, Laura Verdonchamp, she's one of my favorite U23 women racers right now, is really the only big name there. I mean, there are other, you know, U23 Belgian women's. Tess Van Looy, I know, is another one. There's another Yinzi Peters, I think, is another one. So there are, you know, they are there. They aren't getting huge results, like way up.
Yeah.
You know, way up.
It's definitely
World
not
Cups
the same. You know, I mean, I think that
I think
US
the Dutch
is strong. the Dutch. And it was funny because I was like, oh, wait, here's a Belgian. And then I, because I was looking at that, Telenet Fidea just announced that Floor Nagengast has just re-signed and she's winning the U23, but of course she's Dutch, just on a Belgian team. Yeah.
Right. Right. And then just like also Dutch, the woman that I mentioned last weekend or last show, now her name is just slipping my out of my head.
Oh, David knows it.
Usually I can anticipate where he's going, but he's lost me here.
The girl that I mentioned last show for people to watch out for. And I'm just completely drawn a blank.
It must have been Katie Macarelli, I think it was.
No, I can't think of it. Anyways, so, you know, there are definitely more, in my opinion, more Dutch U23 women that are coming up. But, you know,
more Dutch than Belgian, but I think...
more Dutch than Belgian, but the U.S. has got a strong... I agree with you. The U.S. is strong, too, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill.
Sorry, yeah. Bill's checking some other facts now.
I was trying to figure out who that could have been, and I just I'm drawing a blank on it. You know, we also, along with Pauline Ferrand-Prevot coming back, Evie Richards, first time racing cyclocross this year for her, at least on the international scene. I think she got like 8th place in her first year back and her first race back. Yeah, 8th place at Essen, and then I think was up there top 10 as well in the next race. So she's one to look out for, first year fully in the elites. So, you know, former world champion.
Yes, that's awesome. Okay, it was Celine Del Carmen Alvarado.
Oh, there she is, but she's Dutch. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Oh, we're okay. Talking about the Dutch riders. Yeah, she was 9th at Essen. That's right.
Yeah, and
see the start that she got? She was top three. There was the three rider breakaway for the first lap, maybe, and she was up in that, in the mix at the front of that. Pretty awesome. And then she ended up getting 9th in that race. So, yeah, I'm telling you, 19 years old.
Yeah.
Her and Evie Richards, you know, right there in Essen, 10 seconds separating the two of them. So, and, you know, Evie's only 20 and Celine Alvarado is 19. So that's some future stuff, I think, that we're going to see at World Cups for sure. So,
yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool to see a women's U23 race?
Besides Worlds? Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah. You know, that would be awesome. I agree. We don't want to go down that.
Right now. We're not going down that road right now.
All right, Bill, do we want to do another question?
Sure.
I think we covered that, right?
Yeah.
We covered that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. This is from Doug. Dear Bill, Scotty D, and Mr. David Pallon, like even on this show, David, just at least they're adding you, but you're going to be third.
No, I'm in there, yeah.
Yeah.
It means so much to me.
As you have now reached your 100th episode, and a hearty congrats on the milestone, there is a piece of storied cyclocross competition. This is actually, I think, to Mr. David Pound, this question. Storied cyclocross competition that you have never covered, and I am quite frankly shocked. No one has ever told the story of Scott Herman's battle to ascend to claim his title as the voice of cyclocross.
The funny thing is, when I read this question ahead of time, I really thought that we were going to just brush right by this because I know that all of the hairs on the back of Bill Chaykin's neck are now standing on end.
Nope. I am all in favor of this. I think that the only thing is, like, is he the voice of cyclocross in his own home?
Oh,
no. Look
right
out.
Right now, Julie's going, yes.
Yeah. I could tell you stories.
I know
he's also a mechanic in his own home, as you might have seen recently.
I know. Well, I also know she's the voice of choosing carbonated beverages.
Yes. Yeah, and the voice of authority as well. She is quite the voice. And
maybe that should be the you know, you have the mechanics competition. Maybe we need
an announcer.
A race announcer competition.
I love it.
You know, I have it to like talk
some
while
some taglines and stuff.
Talk while blindfolded.
That's how most race announcing is.
Talk and chew gum at the same time.
Do tongue twisters.
No, you gotta announce something while people are coming up and asking you questions that there's no way that you could have any idea what's going on.
Did you see?
Like, come in.
There was a GoFundMe for a, I think it was just for a new tent for the announcer for Chicago Cyclocross Cup.
And,
you know, and they reached it and they got their new tent. Did you see what was on? This is just, I am so jealous.
Did it say not registration?
It says not reg.
Is it not registration?
Yeah, not reg on the side of the tent, which is the most amazing thing ever.
Agreed.
Because if you've ever announced a race, even though you can say it into the microphone every 27 seconds, registration is across the parking lot in the blue tent. Head across the parking lot, registration. Everybody will come and ask you if you're registration.
They will come a long way too.
Yeah.
You could be
looking straight at them and telling them where registration is on the loudspeakers, and they will wait until you're done talking so they can ask you if you are registration.
Yes. Yes. As soon as you get that mic, you become all knowing.
So that could be like one of the lightning rounds in the announcers national championship. You know, it'd be questions like, okay, in Mr. David Fallon, where's registration? And then you'll have to, you know, answer that question.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could have like, you'll have to like recite the Declaration of Independence while 10 people fire questions at you at the top of their lungs and not be distracted. You have to get through the whole thing.
We could do it with like a slideshow too. Be like, you know how you you know how they do that training for batters where they show them split second pictures of a pitcher's hand before he releases the ball.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen? And they
this
have
is
to
cricket.
Yes, and they have.
I've
to,
seen something like that, but with license plates for police officers.
Yeah, it was the same thing. So they have to get. Yeah. They have to say. They have to identify from the hand position and from the finger position what kind of pitch it is, and they just keep throwing slides at them, and they have to like curveball, slider, you know this.
Yeah.
So we could do that, but show photos of muddy race numbers.
Oh yeah.
Or like folded race numbers, and you have like a start list in front of you. And then it's like whoever can quickly identify and correctly pronounce the rider's name as they're going through.
That's it.
Yeah, I like it. And the rider's name will be spelled wrong on the start sheet that you're given.
Yeah, and then bonus points.
Or be out of order.
Bonus points if you can correctly identify the rider's team, even though the start list says unattached.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't you love you get a start list that's instead of by number, it's alphabetical?
Oh, I send those back.
Here's one. I've seen one that's alphabetical by first name.
All right.
What good is that?
No, I love when you get these that have like 30% of them say number unassigned.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Got to pre-reg, people. Got to pre-reg.
So Scott. Did David answer the question about how Scott Herman became a voice of Cyclocross?
No.
I determined it. I said that straight up. He is the voice. That's it. I am the arbiter of the voice of Cyclocross.
Tell you what, if you've ever seen Scott Herman's race preparation,
you will
completely understand why this title is deserved. Because the man spends hours prepping for races that he's gonna go do. I mean, it's amazing. He knows history of racers that he's looked up the night before, the day before, whatever. And by the way, if people haven't seen his little trailer setup that we saw at Indy, I mean, he's got like a he basically, he's completely self, everything that a race has could completely fall apart and be, you know, the entire announcing stuff could be stolen. And if Scott shows up with his stuff, he could do the whole race. He could still announce
the race. Well, that's what happened in Indy. Yeah. It didn't get stolen, but they just happened to mention to him, the logistics company that was bringing all the equipment just happened to mention at the last minute that they weren't bringing the announcing stand.
Yeah. So, I mean, with his setup, he can basically do everything he needs to do, you know, just by himself. No, if everything else goes away, he can still announce a race. So, plus he's got cool puffy boots. So, you know.
And Vans.
Well, and we just, man, this is turning into like the Scott Herman segment.
Did you hear
of the show.
That? But, did you hear that story, Bill, about the puffy boots?
I haven't. Is it on Bike Shop CX?
Yeah, at Indy, he forgot any shoes. All he had was his mud boots and these big puffy winter boots. And we went out to dinner, and so he had to wear those into the restaurant.
Nice.
Because he didn't want to wear his mud boots, so he's wearing these big puffy boots. Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, we can finish this up by saying I did see that Scott just got the call that he will be announcing the final day at CXNet. So go see him out there in Reno. And then I don't know if it's public information or not, but it's not like it's that a secret. I will have the privilege and honor of announcing Louisville Nats with Scott Herman.
Yay.
Yeah.
And I may force my way into pick up a mic and with you guys find my way. I have a way of doing it.
So USA Cycling, make sure that you bolster security around the announcer stage in Louisville.
They'll have David's picture up. Do not let
the guy with his hat.
Oh, by the way, Scott, speaking
don't
of
get
hats,
your hats, gentlemen, when we speak, go to Nats.
Speaking of, there's no way I'm bringing my hat. With all the other crap, like to find like overhead compartment space.
To Nats this year? Yeah, I don't know if I will either.
Yeah. A lot of snorting.
Anyways, all right, Bill.
Hey, we have let's play this because this will dovetail nicely into this trip I just took out to Colorado if we play this next voicemail.
All right, play it.
Hey, Crosshairs Radio. This is Peter calling from Team Bike Kinetic. I'm sure you're wading through about 80 emails that say that Ellen Noble definitely deserves USA Cycling support, which I agree with. But outside of that, I'm curious if there's a little bit of if we could hear a little bit of history on what the USA Cycling support was like prior to this move for cyclocross racers. I know there's some support in place for getting to Worlds, but maybe if you could give a little historical perspective on what the support was like prior to this change, that would be helpful. Thanks a lot. Love the show. Bye.
Okay.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
So to give a little history or backstory for Peter's phone call this week on, you know, they announced it on Thursday, had an event on Wednesday, USA Cycling out at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, that I was able to attend. And it was out there to announce what the national team is basically what they're calling it. And it's across cycling disciplines, and it's I think that they were saying like this really for the past 17 years, there hasn't really been any sort of transparent criteria for who gets support from USA Cycling for top elite athletes. And that's what they're trying to bring into focus. So there are now, you know, certain requirements that you have to meet, be it, you know, winning a gold medal on the road or winning at Worlds or top five or top three. And by meeting those requirements, there's different levels of support. There's like a gold level of support from USA Cycling, and then a silver level and bronze level. And on the this is the tricky or the controversial point for cyclocross, but if you're in an Olympic sport, then you actually get a stipend. So if you win, if you get to that gold level, and their requirements are out there on usacycling.org/team, I believe is where it breaks down. You can
slash cyclocross.
No, just team for the whole thing. You'll get like a $25,000 stipend for the year. So if you're up there, if you, and that comes from the Olympic Committee. So basically the Olympic Committee put earmarked $500,000 for this. The USA Cycling Foundation matched that with $500,000. And then what it gives these athletes, as I said, if you're an Olympic sport, it gives you money, but it also gives you special access to the Olympic Training Center, facilities used, sports medicine, travel support for national team projects, qualifying events, camps, you know, performance coach access, and just a lot of perks for all of these athletes that make it up to this level. And they were, you know, and that's the kind of thing. They just wanted this transparency and wanted to show off the things that they're trying to do for top athletes, not only for the ones that are already there, but as an incentive for everyone else who is an elite athlete to make it up to that level.
Yeah. Yeah.
The interesting thing is that because it's an Olympic sport, the sport that is kind of carrying this program and the one they want to win 7 medals at the next Olympics.
Let me guess.
Which is a lofty goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guess. What's the sport that?
BMX.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting talking to those athletes who are very young, especially the freestyle BMX team. Yep. And I was, when I went in, you know, and had sort of group interviews and a little bit of like one-on-one interviews with them, I was half expecting, more than half expecting to get almost this, you know, skateboarding, snowboarding vibe of this is the establishment, this is the man, I'm not even sure why we're here, but we'll take their money type thing.
Yeah.
Not at all. Like, so thankful that they're there. They're like, oh, this is great. It legitimizes us as a sport. You know, it's great to have this recognition.
That's
awesome. We didn't know about all this stuff, you know, about like diet and all, and, you know, and training, you know, we do our own training, you know, we think we're athletes. Nobody else does, you know, and it was just awesome. But they were like so positive and so thankful for it. Yeah. It was really awesome. They won a new fan of me from just meeting both the freestyle and then also the BMX race team.
Did you talk to Hannah Roberts by any chance, Bill?
I did not.
Okay. Just curious. Cause she's from Michigan. So,
oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And so is Corey Kofi. I think it is. He's from the D. So yeah. He's a freestyle. Yeah,
that's how a lot of cool people refer to Detroit, by the way.
The D.
Nice.
The D.
That's right.
Just yeah, one
so,
letter.
So to bring it back around to okay.
I think the main part of his question was how does this compare to what happened in the past, right?
Well, that's kind of, you know, and I think that has to do with cyclocross as well. And I think that the difference, it's not because that money part isn't there, so it's definitely not as great a change for it. It's mainly who gets that support, and this is in addition to support that they're already going to get to go to Worlds or that kind of stuff. I mean, if you're a qualifying athlete, like I think if you win Nationals or Pan Ams or something, you know, there are certain people who get basically a full ride, and then the rest of a lot of people still have to pay for themselves. And,
right.
But yeah, so I think that the part that is now spelled out and is spelled out to certain levels, and there's criteria to meet to get those. Are this, you know, full travel support to attend the national team projects, the sport performance services, including nutrition, psychology, strength and conditioning, physiology, technology, sports medicine, eligible for international competition programs, discipline performance coach access, you know, that's something that not everybody's gonna have access to. So, and then also, as I said, travel assistance just to the national team project and qualifying event. So there are certain things. It may not look as impressive because, of course, it's taking away that $25,000 a year if you're at that gold level. And that's you know,
right,
what you have to do to get this. So think about this. Even if there is money, this is what our athletes would have to do. And, you know, we've already talked about it a little bit. I think when we look at it, it's something that's probably more possible on the women's side than the men's. Hopefully that'll change and we'll get some breakout performances. But right now, to get gold for men, it's top three elite UCI CX World Championships. So you have to medal at Worlds. Same for the women. To get silver, you have to be in the top five elite at Worlds. To get bronze, and this is where our athletes are right now, you need, for men, it's top eight elite UCI World Championship or Pan Am champion or U.S. champion. So those are the three way. And that's pretty much for everyone. The one thing that people pointed out that's a little bit different, and I sent an email to USA Cycling. I haven't heard anything back. When I do, I will let you all know. The one discrepancy is between the U23 men and the U23 women.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
on the silver level?
Yeah, to get silver, you have to be top five for the men at Worlds, and for the women it's top three, and for the bronze it's top eight in the world, and for the men, and then for the women it's top five. So it's why, and I can imagine that the reasoning is field size, but I think that we all sort of, you know, aren't really sure about that determination, because that doesn't necessarily mean field quality.
Right. You know, and even field size in the last few races in Europe, it's been the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
If anything, though, I think this is a compliment to the women, because I think on the worldwide stage, the U.S. women are stronger than the U.S. men, especially at the U23 level.
Yep.
So it's almost, it's like saying that a top five finish for the U23 men is equal to a top three finish for the U23 women. That's saying a lot about the women out there.
If it
wasn't just an oversight, I think there could be good reason for doing that. If you look at the number of U23 women that have a shot at top five, they had to really kind of take that down a little bit.
Yeah. And what raised the ire of people when this first got unraveled is there's a little asterisk next to the cyclocross chart that isn't there for the rest of them that says funding is not available for any level because it is a non-Olympic discipline, and that's for the, that would be for the money, basically.
And then
the other question was, you know, and it was a question that I asked when I was there, is like, why isn't Ellen Noble on the team? So your cyclocross team is Stephen Hyde, Katie Compton, Gage Heck, and Emma White. Emma White actually qualified under cyclocross and road. And the reason is they were like, we had to start somewhere, and they did it for the 2017 season, even though 2017 Worlds 2016-17 happened in 2017. They regard that as last season, makes sense. So even though she got a silver in there, that's, you know, she didn't make it, and then she raced in the elites for the Pan Ams, which Katie Compton won, so not on the team for that. It's kind of interesting too, because you look at that that's where it just didn't seem fair at the time, because winning a silver at Worlds, you know, no offense against the Pan Ams, that's much more difficult than that Pan Am race.
Yeah,
Yeah.
No question,
we hope that one day that Pan Am race is right up there just as hard as like a European race. Right now, you know, we've all been to the majority of the C1 races. It's just it just looks like any of those other races.
Yeah, yeah. It's really the U.S. and Canada with a few, you know,
although,
each year, though, we are seeing more South American riders. Every year, there's a couple more.
Your U23 women's champion, right? Oh, no, that was Emma.
Yeah. No, that was Emma, yeah.
That Sophia did get a medal.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think it's showing improvement every year. But you know, historically, I can just say, so, like, if people are, who was it that called? What was his name again? I'm sorry,
Peter.
I already forgot.
Peter,
yeah. Basically, you know, like when we had our team with Spencer and Drew, you know, if you watch those guys ride over there and you watch like videos when they were over there racing, if they're wearing the USA kit, then they are getting supported by USA Cycling. So historically, because that was part of his question, is how did riders over there get support before? Like, so when we had those guys, you know, that didn't cost the team money, right? But it's also why they didn't wear our kit, right? They were wearing the USA kit over there because that's who was giving them support. So that was actually very helpful for a team our size to get that support from USA Cycling, you know, to get them over to Europe and get them to race over there. So they did get that kind of stuff before. This is all like different stuff. This is like on top of that, right?
Right. Bro? Yeah. Yeah. And
none of that's going to change.
You know, the other point, a couple other points to be made about this. One, there is no cap on how many athletes are eligible for this. So it's not like you're not competing against really anybody else for a spot. If you meet the qualifications, you're on the national team. You know, it's just easy as that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, U.S. could put two in the top three, two women in the top three.
Yeah. Yeah,
that could happen.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then the other point that I want to make, and this is kind of the bigger one, is that we all are more than happy to get upset with USA Cycling, just like everyone that listens. And if you looked at Twitter, where you want to yell at them and go nuts. But the issue here is that if you want cyclocross to have the same support as the other disciplines, you know, no offense to Stephen High, but not being the redheaded stepchild of cycling, then it needs to be an Olympic sport. And that's something that you have to embrace and sort of fight for. That is where that happens. Cyclocross becomes an Olympic sport, then it gets moved into that USOC funding pool.
Right.
And then that's it. Then you're eligible. Then the stipend's there. Then it has really nothing. And I'm getting trouble with it. It doesn't have as much about USA Cycling because they are offering that for these other disciplines that are Olympic sports. Is it right that the Olympics control like that? Maybe not. But that's the system we're under.
Right. That's the way
so
it's
Bill,
set up.
So, yes. How can our viewers impart change? You're from Washington, D.C. You know how things work with politics and everything. How can our viewers make this happen? How can
that's a really good point, Dave. And if we look at Washington, D.C., and if we look how government works, how you impart change, I think we're already doing it. It's yell on Twitter.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I mean, look how good it's working so far.
From the top down, that's what has to happen.
All right, well, I think we covered that question. Do we want to do a go on to another one, an email question?
Yeah. Oh, I will follow up with the national team stuff. Not to get too stuck on here, but I do have a lot of interviews from that event. It's not always cyclocross based, but I am going to have stuff up at cxharris.com with some video of Derek Bouchard Hall, of Jim Miller, and a couple other folks sort of explaining the program and sort of the nuts and bolts of what's going on and ask them, you know, there's some good back and forth questions on there. So all that video will go up in the next week. And then for episode 101 of Crosshairs Radio. I have interviews with Derek Bouchard Hall, president of USA Cycling, and then also Mark Gullickson, who is the he was for a long time heading up the cyclocross team and in charge of the cyclocross selection for Worlds and also for mountain bike. Jeff Proctor has now moved into that role for cyclocross. Gully is still in charge of mountain bike. You know, that's the other sport that I do coverage for. So we really had a conversation with Gullickson more. It was pretty much split. You know, he raced cyclocross. He came from the road, went to cyclocross. So I did actually get into a little bit of his history in racing and some of sort of the old school racing. So that was fun. So the interview with him, and then the third interview is with Kate Courtney, who is the elite national mountain bike cross country champ, also medaled in Worlds, and is the next star of mountain bike, yeah, on the women's side, especially from the US. So one to watch. So it was good to, you know, about 20-30 minute conversations with the three of them. So that's what we're going to have next week for Crosshairs Radio.
Yeah. Cause you know, none of that would have been worthy of episode 100.
No, we had to have no agenda at all for 100. Yeah, and then we can get back to the brass tacks for 101.
All right. Hit us. Let's do another question.
Okay. Got to scroll down the lesson plan. This was, I don't know how we have this link. I'll put the link up in the show notes, but this is what I like. This is, we are teaching. We are
saying
teaching
that all 100 episodes.
New skills. For cyclocross. All right. Howdy, gents. I was listening to the last TDDTIE episode and laughed when you mentioned that you need to incorporate a section about fixing drop chains into the next version of Skills, Drills, and Bellyaches, available at cyclocrossbook.com. If you order now, I can still get it to you before Christmas. After having kids bring their bikes to me with a drop chain one too many times during cross practice this year, I decided to run exactly that drill. And, Dave has a link to a Facebook photo that I will put in the show notes so you can go check it out there. So most kids don't know how to replace a drop chain, so we demonstrated the basics on how to get the chain back on, then ran them through the drill. To make it more fun, we made it a combination crash recovery drop chain drill. I had the kids lay on the ground facing the wrong direction, then jump up, find their bike, get the chain on, remount, and ride 25 meters to the finish line. I'm pretty sure they liked it because they kept wanting to run through it again and again. That's from Dave Lawson, who runs the Velo Groms Junior Development Team. I love that.
That is amazing. I love
it.
Yes. There's nothing about that I don't love. I wonder if some of them had single rings with thick, thin rings.
Because I'm telling you, it is like the new pose of cyclocross, you know, much like Rick Barry on the NBA logo. We're now right. Gonna have just Matthew Vanderpool bent over his bike, you know, for the cyclocross. This is what represents cyclocross.
That's what you get for running that chain catcher.
Yeah, but I love that he did that, and I was, you know, half joking but mostly serious in that needs to be a drill that's included in the next edition of Skills, Drills, and Bellyaches.
Or an appendix or something, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean,
love
so
it.
When is that next edition coming out, Bill?
I have no idea. I still have.
We're waiting for you
looking,
to finish
looking
up the
at my shelf.
Section,
there is still inventory left of the first edition.
There
and
we
it's
go.
Still relevant. So here I will tell you this about that book, and this is where my lack of interest in gear, I think, paid off, because it kept that book relevant longer.
Oh, because you weren't, yeah, you didn't.
There's no outdated tech in there.
Yeah, there's no tech. Yeah, yeah, right. It's all about skill stuff. Yeah.
I love Simon's book, but the tech section is fun.
Yeah. It's fun for different reasons nowadays. But you know what, Bill? Tell us, speaking of stuff that you sell, tell us about the custom Svennis shirts.
Yeah. So the Scott Diedenbach, it was sort of like a Pollock painting, you know, which is going to go for millions. This was the same idea. It was Scott in a work environment, custom customizing these shirts with sealant, with tire sealant.
Yeah.
I decided that, well, I had sold out of Svennis shirts. I had just these left. I wasn't going to make any money. I basically sold them at cost, and they all sold out. Everybody loved it. Nice. There were people scrambling for them.
So in case people are wondering, these are the ones that I basically dumped a bunch of tire sealant on while they were in the box.
Yeah.
So in my van at Trek. So I'm glad they all sold out, because I was feeling kind of bad about that. Like, oh man, I just ruined 10 of his shirts. It was like 10 of them, wasn't it? It was like 10%.
Yeah, no,
of
it was. It was.
Oh, man.
It was nearing $200 worth of shirts. I was like, oh.
and just so viewers know, you know, those have all been cataloged and identified. So don't try and counterfeit those.
Yeah.
No. We'd be able to spot them a mile away. So
one thing
you do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish up.
David, go.
You wrote up a provenance paper, didn't you, and signed it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. They're all cataloged and yeah. Bill, what are you going to say?
No, I was reading through the rest of the letters and realized that
he's like our parents when we used to like eat dinner and everyone would try to talk at the same time. And you're like, your dad would say, okay, Bill, you speak now, David, you'll get your chance.
Who has the talking stick?
I was just going to say the talking stick. I was like, there needs to be an app so that we can have a virtual talking stick. That needs to be
guys,
that
well,
needs to be in
want...
the next talking stick. That needs to be in the next version of Slack. There needs to be like a talking stick in Slack.
Yeah, I like it. Do we want to do any more questions, or are we going to call it?
Well, I was just going to cover, since we didn't mention it during Essen, the one you know, you talked about Vanderpool winning. The person who was not in that race was Wout van Aert, right? He didn't race that weekend. He was off doing a training trip, even though Hai did. So I think people are really interested in this bromance that has, cropped up between Wout van Aert and Steven Hyde out there training together.
I'm just glad that no rumors have started about the, you know, they hang out for a week and nobody like started any rumors or anything.
Well, you got to get on that.
Didn't hear it.
Isn't there a show that handles rumors?
Yeah, that should be the... I'm surprised. I am actually surprised that Coach Tim was not all over this, because, you know, we had talked about the week before about Wout's maybe not being really happy with his bike or with his team, and then that there were rumors out there that he was going to hop over to Red Lotto, especially since he, you know, wants to race on the road and that's going to be his next, you know, focus. And then on Steven Hyde's Instagram, and one of our viewers sent this to us, is this photo, it's actually Jim sent it to us. A photo of on one of, you know, Steven and Wout's training rides of them stopping for coffee, and they're stopping with all of the Red Lotto team, and Wout's right there in the middle of them. So I sent a text, and I sent it a little late, so he's probably asleep. So I'll follow back with everybody asking Steven Hyde what the lowdown is, to spill the beans on Wout and if he's really going to Red Lotto since he's hanging out with all those guys.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in case he doesn't, I did send a text to Wout.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Good.
One of the two will find out.
Yep.
All right, gents, I think we made a mockery of these questions, but you know, hey, we're done.
Yeah,
there was question 7. Do you want to go over 7 at all?
No.
Is that the
I think we did. That was, you know, I think the last couple we covered, they were actually older. They were from November. So I think that we already covered those.
We got some great stuff from Jens, though. Jens,
yeah. That, I was talking about. That was seven.
That was a great, yeah, great.
Did I mean, we went through a lot of that, I feel like. What do you think we left out from that email?
Not much. Yeah, I mean, it's
technique
stuff
questions there.
Don't spill the beans on anything you're not supposed to in there.
Using the fencing on the sides as pull-up bars.
He congratulates us on our pronunciation of Pim Ronhar's name. So, nice. You know.
Hopefully you would pronounce it again correctly. Oh, one thing I did want to mention in here, and this is not from Jens. This was another one of our insiders from Europe. And it's something that you touched on, Scott, a little earlier when we were talking about the qualifications for the national team, is the size of the fields.
Yeah.
And it's that the men's fields are now smaller than the women's fields.
Yes.
And that you know, what we're hearing is that race organizers, you know, from your Dave Aves and Super Prestiges are really struggling to get men to race in those races. And this is kind of an interesting thing. I honestly don't think it's a bad thing. What's happening is a lot of these racers are heading to other races around Europe. They're going to EKZ. They're going to Spain. Mm-hmm. They're looking at other UCI races where they can get points that are offering good prize money and going there. You know, so you know what this comment was, you know, it's a lot of work to have mechanics, a soigneur, and a mobile home at a bigger race when they can race amateur races and win points and prize money. The women don't seem to be as concerned about this. They still want to race the bigger races. So they're all showing up, which is awesome on their, for that as well. But for the men, where I said it's not necessarily a bad thing, is that I think that we need to get cyclocross, continue to get cyclocross out of Belgium. To sort of end that stranglehold on Belgium. Those are always going to be the biggest races. Those are always going to be the best races. That's just going to happen. Those are like storied venues, and they're always going to be huge. But we need it to leave Belgium more, and then the sport becomes a more international sport.
Yeah, I agree. Have you, speaking of that, if people haven't yet, I talked about this with Mark Legg on the last Bike Shop CX. Check out the book Rainbows in the Mud by Paul. I think it's pronounced Maunder. Paul Maunder.
Paul Maunder. Yeah, I actually. Go ahead. He talks about.
Yeah, if you get a chance, check that out, because he talks about this whole idea of, you know, Belgium. Everybody thinking that Belgium has always been the dominant place of cyclocross. And he kind of talks about, well, actually, you know, back in the day, the French were really the first powerhouse, moved to Switzerland. It has moved on to Belgium, but it can move again. Right. And it probably will. So this is part of this natural cycling of this that we'll see. So, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it will lead to a stronger sport, a stronger sport for all kinds of reasons. There'll be better athletes. There'll be more athletes. There'll be more women. There'll be equal pay for women. There'll be, you know, everything will be better. It'll be better. It'll be better situated financially. So I think it'll all be better if all that happens. So yeah, Bill, I agree with you. And I think this might be a step along those lines for sure.
Yeah, and that book, Rainbows in the Mud, Inside the Intoxicating World of Cyclocross, Paul Maunder. You know, go to Amazon, go wherever you buy books, and they should be either have it or it was available for order. He sent me a copy. I have been meaning to read it and review it. I have not gotten there yet. Paul, apologies for that, but I will just tell everybody to go out and get it. Support anyway. There are some good reviews out there that beat me to that punch. So you can go and search for that and see what's going on with that book.
Yeah, it's good. It took me a little bit to get into it. Once he starts going to the races, though, I couldn't put it down. So So if you give it a good 50, 60 pages, and I think you'll get to that point too, and you'll just race right through it. So, all right. Anything else we want to talk about, guys?
No.
Well, that was a good 100th episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got 100 minutes to talk.
Kept it under an hour and a half, unless I, include that other 45 minutes of off the record stuff.
Well, my Skype timer is over 2 hours. So yeah. That's how much we talked ahead of time. And I was recording all that. So when we have the 200th episode, I'll go back and look at all that stuff and be able to use it as
awesome
sound bites.
That reminds me, I need to put those sound bites
on. Don't forget to add the sound bites to the end of the show there, Bill.
And also, don't forget Instagram your photo.
Yes.
Photo of you. So somebody else, I guess, has to take that photo. Or maybe it could be a selfie. That works too. We don't care. Yeah.
But stay safe out there while you're taking those selfies.
Yeah, yeah, race and take a selfie. But we're going to, it has to be a, yeah. And then we're looking for, looking to give away a entry into Reno Nats and also two nights at the Host Hotel.
That's going to be amazing.
And
just
what
to
you
throw
need,
it out there. Yeah. Go ahead, Bill.
No, you go, David.
You do have to qualify.
So, right? For the elites.
For whatever it is that you want to enter.
Yeah.
This doesn't.
Right. We're not.
Yep.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Right. You can't just pick whatever you want.
And I don't think there's a Cat 5 race. So.
Right.
Nothing against Cat 5 racers. We love them. We all were once a Cat 5 racer. They are the bulk of many races. But you do need to qualify for the event.
Absolutely. Bill,
yeah.
If people want to get in touch with you on social media, where do they do it?
They can get it. Well, I want to finish this that you have to hashtag it TDDTIE, and then you have to follow at Reno CX Nats, and then also tag them too to be eligible to win the contest. And this is all taking place on Instagram. Don't yell at me if you don't have Instagram. All of your friends do. Go download it. you can enter the 20th century in time for the 21st, as I like to say. CXHairs.com, also at CXHairs on the aforementioned Instagram and Twitter, and cyclocrossbook.com. It's the perfect gift. You can get that. You can go get Rainbows in the Mud as well, and you will have all of your cyclocross friends taken care of. Oh, last thing. YouTube.com/CXHairs. Tons of video up there on Crosshairs Television. Please go follow along there. Like the videos. Yeah. That helps me a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, I got to get back caught up. I'm a little behind, but definitely go check that out for sure. David.
Yes, sir.
Where can people get in touch with you?
Mr. David Palin on the Instagram and on the Twitter. That's where you'll find me.
All right, and I'm Scott Dienbach. You can find me at Bike Shop CX on Twitter, at CyclocrossNet on Twitter, and at Bike Shop CX on Instagram. Check us out, Bike Shop CX podcast. We just had a great show with Mark Legg that I think you guys will all dig heading into Nationals. And next week, David.
Yes, sir.
We got Drew from Stands No Tubes. We got you hooked up with tires, man. Tubeless. Tubular in two different shows, back-to-back weeks. You're getting an extra Bike Shop CX this month. Three for the price of two. That's just, there's no better deal. So go check those out at the show at the Wide Angle Podium, Bike Shop CX. All right, guys. When are we going to do this again? Do we know? We'll figure it out.
A couple weeks, probably.
Yeah, let's go to Nats.
Or maybe we'll just give people two for one next week. Who knows?
There you go.
Yeah. But all folks... Right, guys, get yourself hooked up on that Instagram contest. Make sure to get it.
Get in, and then you can come and say hi to us while you're there.
Worth the price of admission right there.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, cyclocross friends. There it is. Episode 100 in the books. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. Thanks so much for everybody who's been there since episode one or who has joined since then. Truly means a ton to me, to all of the contributors, to CXHairs.com, and also Crosshairs Radio, that you've stuck around and supported not only the show, but the network and the sponsors. I think we got an awesome community here, and I look forward to the next 100 episodes. Quick postscript to the episode we just recorded, actually recorded it last night. Got a text back from Stephen Hyde, and he said, 100% not happening on WoW going to Red Lotto. So, believe it, don't believe it, but there you go. Also, don't forget about the Instagram contest. That thing's huge. I mean, I can't even believe it. It came up out of nowhere, and we're pretty stoked, and we want to send somebody to Nationals from Crosshairs Radio. So, get on that. HealthIQ.com/CXHairs in honor of the 100th episode. Go and take that survey. Go and talk to the folks over at Health IQ. It means a ton to us. Also, follow everything that goes on in all of the shows at the Wide Angle Podium Network, wideanglepodium.com. And you may not know this, but it's holiday season, and you should get a cyclocross book for your loved ones, or your non-loved ones, or your friends, or your postal carrier. Cyclocrossbook.com. Do it up. All right, let's listen to some of those audio clips that Scott Diedenbach downloaded. See you next week.
All right, now, did you guys get some of these names that we got? I thought we got some really good names.
As they came through, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear what we got.
I'll read off the ones that I got, and we'll just kind of make it up as we go. So, all right, one guy sent in Mudcast. Another one was Europe. I heard they ride cross there too. I like that one. That's one of my favorites. Cyclo Goats.
Yeah. Do you know what that is?
No.
Like what that? Okay. So when I was, I tweeted Guyten in Dutch. G-I-E-T-E-N is the name of the race. G-E-I-T-E-N means goat.
Oh,
so okay. it was my typo that was which I like that one a lot.
So Cyclo Goats, all right. This is another one of my favorite. Not as good as Svenness.
That's a value judgment on that right away. We don't even know yet. Kind of early.
I love it. I love it. Cyclo Tossers. CXY Times with Bill. Another one of my favorites, Eurocross Biking with Shiken.
That, yeah.
Like
that's a
that.
Nice little rhyme there.
Of course, someone sent in CX is Dead.
Good, good, yeah.
Hey, Bill, what's Shiken? A lot of people sent in either Across the Pond or Cross the Pond. This one was sent in by our friend JB Hancock, who does the Alma GP. And he was one of the few people that actually used Ness at the end. So, got to give him credit for that.
Or demerits.
Right. Like he said, I know this will mean I'm floating to the bottom of the list. European Cyclocross Annales Ness.
Yeah. All right.
Just a couple more. Welcome to Eurodome. Most of my Euros don't appear on no stamps.
That was Chris Mayhew.
That was a good one. Yeah.
I like that one.
Across the World. CX Fire within the crosshairs. That one was just someone just threw that out there this morning. So that was the last one. So that's what we got, gentlemen. Nobody sent in any audios. What are any of your favorites out of there?
I was thinking one of those sort of reminded me of sort of a theme that I will throw out there every once in a while when you see sort of these crazy features in these European cyclocross races, like the rollers or, you know, in the rhythm sections and that kind of stuff, or like there's these wooden structures that seem crazy. And what you get a lot in U.S. cross from people is the line that I hear, like, well, they don't do that in Europe because, you know, we're supposed to do everything that
right,
that the Europeans do, and that somehow it's their, you know, somehow it's a classier thing there, and then they get all this like nutty stuff going on.
Huh.
So I was like, you know, when there's like crazy rollers and stuff in races, I'll say, well, they don't do that in Europe. So
right.
That would be my suggestion for the segment name. They don't do that in Europe.
They don't do that in Europe. I like that. I like that. Any other favorites? I like, so it's kind of along the lines of I heard they ride cross there too. That was a good one. Eurocross biking with Shiken. Hey, Bill, what's Shiken? But I like your suggestion, man. Is that what you want to go with? It's up to you. You can decide.
We could just feel it out for a while. Maybe put it out there. See how it goes.
We can let it run for a little while.
Let's see. What would that be? Hang on. T D D T E. They don't do that in Europe.
I like that, man.
Yeah.
I like that. Are we going with that or are we going to wait?
They're doing it wrong.
They're doing it wrong. Eurocross, they're doing it wrong.
Well, we just say they're doing it wrong and then people can decide who's wrong. Right.
Eurocross, I guess we can talk about that.
That's good. All right. Well, we'll leave it at that, Bill. You can decide. You can give us the final answer next week. How's that?
Okay. That sounds good.
That sounds good. All right.